Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, and my co-host here, Dave Popowicz. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It was a busy week, interesting week, lots to talk about.
Can I just say something, man?
Sure.
25,000 steps.
What?
I did 25,000 steps.
You were pacing that much in your office?
From the beginning of March. But the point is, I'm now counting my steps. So say congratulations, Faisal.
Was that good?
I'm counting my steps. Say congratulations.
Okay, congratulations.
Wow, no support here. None.
Wow. I don't know if that's good or bad, right? What's okay. I got to tell you, what gets measured, right?
Gets done.
Gets done, can be managed, can be adjusted. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today because we've got some details on what's going to be measured from a federal budget perspective.
Correct. The economics impact of it, the benefits of it. Some of the things that are going to be that were mentioned in the budget are... pointless.
Well, you know, they
didn't help.
The high level question is this just truly a political budget? This is a pre-election budget, or is it an economic budget? And we're gonna dig into that question. There's lots of different bits and pieces to it, but let's understand from an economics point of view, is this going to help our country?
Yeah.
Okay. And in what degree? And we'll talk about some of the specifics of the different elements.
And what can Alberta do?
Yeah.
I think that's a key thing. We need to talk about what can Alberta do. We're heading into an election, so I wanted to know what the budget has an impact on our province as well.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got a couple of segments with Avery Shenfeld, who's the chief economist at CIBC. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to talk about just sort of the week that was, because it was a busy week. Aside from the budget, we won't talk about that. We won't steal Avery's thunder on that. But we had we saw again maybe some volatility return. We saw some conflicting messages. We've got some of the, you know, the stuff that we've been talking about for a long time at a high level. We've got Brexit going on. We've got the U.S. Federal Reserve making an interest rate decision. I shouldn't say that, but their communication was very interesting. There's lots of stuff that's affected markets this week.
I've seen more punting with the European Union than I have in any football game.
Let's start there. it's almost becoming a joke, in my opinion. So Brexit got kicked down. They kicked the can down the road until mid-April. They're going to have to go back. Theresa May, the Prime Minister, is going to go back to the British Parliament and ask them to vote for a third time, if they can, because the Speaker of Parliament has said maybe not. But if they can, they're going to vote for a third time. And if it ends up as the previous two did, then they're either crashing out in early May, mid-May.
Or they have to ask for an extension.
An extended extension. Like, I'm talking a year or greater.
Yeah.
And then start over. Right? So they've accomplished nothing. Here we are, 3 years after the referendum vote. We've accomplished nothing other than continue to create uncertainty in the European Union.
Are you surprised?
Disappointed, frustrated, surprised. I don't know. I guess it's a political environment today. I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
I think in the political climate that we have globally, no matter which region of the world you're looking at, there is so much resistance for major change, or there's a resistance for status quo, depending on which part of the world you're looking at.
Yeah.
And so these types of major changes that happen in the world, like a Brexit, because it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
How to divorce out of a group is a big deal like that. Having that resistance is not surprising to me. I'm not, the parliament in the UK themselves weren't convinced that this was what the public wanted, even after a referendum.
Well, again, here you have a referendum that was sort of 2 percentage points, right? And so maybe it goes back to the referendum rules right to the beginning. You can't have maybe that thin a majority determine something like this because we end up in a place like this. I got to tell you, I'm getting to the point personally where I don't particularly care what happens. Just make it happen.
And that's what the market's saying.
That's exactly
just
what
make a decision and let's move on.
That's right. Whatever.
And that's the same thing that people are saying between U.S. and China trade.
Right.
Just make a decision so we can move on.
Right.
Now, the Fed made a decision this week.
Well, yeah, the Fed,
Federal Reserve by the United
States.
U.S.
Federal Reserve, right? That's right. Interest rate policy and monetary policy is very important, the Fed being the gorilla in the zoo here on this one. And there was an expectation that the U.S. Fed was going to maintain its current interest rate policy, was going to walk back the market's expectations from 2 interest rate increases this year to 1, and then they were going to stop the quantitative reduction, so they would end that their bond program sort of around October, something like that.
Yep.
Okay. So what we actually got was a bit of a leapfrog effect. The Fed got more aggressive, more dovish, okay, in walking back those expectations, and in fact walked us back to no interest rate increases in the U.S. this year.
Yep.
And the effect of that was very interesting to watch the trading. So immediately what happened was the equity markets reversed a negative position and went positive in North America on the news.
This was Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday.
It's all the same, yeah. One big blurry mess now. But what happened by the end of that day,
Yeah.
The markets went negative. And I was, you know, I had a conversation at the end of the day with McFarlane, doing the Joe McFarlane about the market end. And I said, this was really interesting because normally this, the market had to determine, did they see this as a dovish move, i.e., this is stimulative in effect by keeping interest rates low, or did the Fed just send us a message that they think the economic situation in the United States and their economy is way worse than what we expected?
Correct.
And so that's, we saw a negative.
So where do we, where do people go to?
Right.
When they hear news like that, the stock market's doing weird things. Wednesday down, Thursday up, Friday down. Like there's no clear sign. Where should the person go to get somewhat of what the economy's looking at? And so I look at the bond market. I look at where the interest rates are going, and there's a yield curve that we look at, which is where basically we're saying longer term interest rates should be higher than shorter term interest rates. And just this week, the 10-year government bond
in the United States
was within 10 basis points.
Oh, within two at
sorry,
one
two
point.
Basis points of the
three month
interest rate. That means the market's saying that the interest rates in 3 months from now are going to be the same as it is 10 years from now. And the last time we had this, so this is spooking the markets now, is in 2007, right before the major crash.
Right.
So, do you think Canadians are ready for a recession, if that actually happens, in their retirement?
The answer is generally no.
Okay, and I agree. And I'll tell you why. My view is, and you can jump in after this. From all the people who've approached us and said, can you take a look at my portfolio and my financial situation and give me a second opinion? Okay. The positioning of their portfolio is so heavily weighted for growth that the portfolio does not have any room for error.
Right.
And what I'm seeing in a lot of people's portfolios is the concept of growth is there for the foreseeable future, 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. And that if a recession was to come, and more importantly, a recession that was to surprise us, and the markets do tumble, and I'm talking 10, 15, 20%, a lot of people's situation are going to have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm concerned that Canadians are not ready for a recession in their retirement.
You know, there was an interesting, we met with part of our economic advisory board, this was last week, but it was a comment that you and I talked about as well, and it's stuck with me. They said, we're in a long-term business that's measured in the short term.
Correct.
So, and here's the thing, retirement is clearly a long-term issue, right?
Yes.
But if you're improperly structured, the short term can have a major impact. And I think that, you know, it was a statement that really resonated with me. And so when I said, generally speaking, I don't think they're ready, let's forget about the emotional impact for a little bit.
Yep.
Although I think we can address that in the fourth segment. But from a structural perspective around retirement, we all understand that, retirement hopefully is going to be a very long period of time. That's a long-term issue. But a short-term influence like a market pullback you've talked about can materially or seriously derail somebody's either enjoyment of the experience in the short term or, in fact, derail the entire long-term process.
Correct.
So the structure, I mean, we always call them the buckets, right? These buckets is we have to acknowledge that there can be short-term problems. Those short-term problems can be compounded into a long-term problem if we don't take care of, you know, of that short term.
Proper structure. And I think when one of the pieces that you talk about in our monthly seminar is what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The sequence of returns, the financial impact if the markets don't participate in your favor, if you're lucky or unlucky, those types of things.
Right.
We talk about that stuff. And the way that you present it, I think, is fantastic for people to literally see how someone has to either really change their lifestyle in retirement or they will go to zero prematurely.
Right.
If they don't. That's a huge change to what people, and I don't think, people are anticipating the impact of a recession and are prepared for that.
Right.
So I think we need to have that conversation. Now, we're going to do that on Tuesday, March 26th, 8:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Four Points Hotel in the West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay. Are you interested if there's anything in the federal budget for you? For Calgary and Alberta, and for the nationally, if this is going to be good for us, then tune in after the break. We're going to talk to Avery Shenfeld, chief economist at CIBC, and get his take on the specifics of this budget. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.